And then we want to pray and move right into the ministry of the word of the Lord. In the book of 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, we want to start with verse 1. Verse 1, and this part of the series is entitled, Giving Beyond the Tithe. Say, Giving Beyond the Tithe.
Giving Beyond the Tithe.
So since we are a people who want to go beyond the tithe, we want to give beyond the tithe. We don't want just the tithe, but we want to give beyond the tithe. And it has to be a desire. It has to be a goal to be a giver. Just because a person is a tither does not mean or make them a giver. You have to desire to be a giver beyond the tithe. That has to be a hunger, a thirst. I want to be somebody that give. I want to be somebody that bless someone else. Many times people become so interested in their own self that they seem to think everyone else is to give unto them, and they're never on the giving side or the giving end. You have to have a desire to give, a desire to be a person that's a giver. Start giving in your own home. Desire to give your husband. Desire to give your wife. Desire to give your children. Desire to give unto your church. You have to have a desire to be a giver. Now here Paul is testifying of the church of Macedonia. And Paul is going to describe to us, and we're not going to get too far into this. Last week we read quite a few scriptures out of this. But Paul is talking about a group of people, church, in their deep poverty. And the word poverty here that we're going to read, this word poverty, it doesn't mean that they were impoverished where they never had anything. This word poverty, it indicates that they had something, but because of their trials or their afflictions, they lost what they had, but they never lost the spirit of giving. Because they were givers beyond the tithe. And when you're a giver beyond the tithe, God bestows upon you a special grace for giving. The reason why some people never get any extra is because they're not a giver. There's a special grace of giving that God gives unto givers. And you'll see that as we continue on. Starting with verse 1. And it reads, Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit. Paul is saying, I will have you to understand of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abound unto the riches of their liberality. Isn't that something? Think about it now. What the devil meant to be evil, because he brought the trial, he brought the affliction there. What he meant to be evil, it turned around and caused them to be more liberal in their giving. What happens to the average person when they're attacked in their finances, attacked in their material of substance? They cut back. They don't understand that you retaliate in the spirit. In other words, when the devil puts pressure on you, see, he's the biggest idiot around. When he puts pressure on you, instead of doing what the pressure that he puts on you were intended to do, that's to back you off, you reverse the curse and go and give more. I think, Lord, about 4 or 5 of them believe this already. The rest of you stick with me. You get a hold to it. And then in verse 3, it says, now this is my point, verse 3, for to their power, the word power in the Amplified, you can even read it, it's ability. For to their ability, I bear record. Now, what is their ability? What is everyone's ability in terms of finances? What is it that all of us are able to do? There you go. All of us are able to tithe. And it says, for to their ability, I bear record. Yes, and beyond, underline the word beyond if you don't have it already underlined. And beyond their ability to tithe, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Verse 5 is a very important verse. And this they did, not as we hoped. We just hoped that they would tithe. Paul says, because everybody can tithe. This they did, not as we hoped, but listen, this is the key. First gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Now, this is my point here tonight. If we're going to be a people that give beyond the tithe, the first thing we need to understand is what he said there. They first gave themselves. They gave themselves. Now, I'm going to tell you what that means in terms of the giving of ourselves. When you first give yourself unto the Lord, when you give yourself unto God, what you're doing, you are surrendering your life, and in the surrenders of your life, you develop what's called a sacrificial heart. See, a lot of people don't know what it is to sacrifice, because the moment they start tithing, they think that's a sacrifice. You see, you don't even understand what sacrifice is. If we continue on, he begins to show us how that Jesus left all that he had to come down here to identify with what we had that's absolutely nothing, so that we can identify with what he has that's absolutely everything. The Son of Man becomes the Son of God, so the sons of men can become the sons of God. What did he say? I said the Son of Man became the Son of God, so that we, the sons of men, can become the sons of God. In other words, it's called a great exchange. Jesus identified with what we have absolutely nothing, so that we can identify with what he has absolutely everything. And so when he laid his life down, it was a sacrifice. Now, so when it says that they first gave themselves, that is saying that they surrendered their life and they had a sacrificial heart. You see, when you surrender your life and have a sacrificial heart, when things go wrong and things don't go the way you want them to go, when your car breaks down, when you get laid off your job, somebody said, now, preacher, you prophesizing negative gloom and doom. No, let me tell you what Jesus said. He said, listen, there was two people that built the house, one on sand, one on a rock. And he said, the rain descended, the floods came and the winds blew and beat not up on one of the houses, but beat up on both of the houses. But only one of the houses fell and the other house stood. My point is, trials, tribulations, temptations will come to us all. You will be tried. You'll be hitting your body with sickness. You'll feel the pain. And you say, preacher, now listen, you're putting something on me. Friend, listen, if you haven't had any pain since the time you've been born in this world, stand up and testify. Every one of us have had pain. Every one of us have had a toothache. Every one of us is losing something. What are y'all laughing about? Okay, so my point is simply this. My point is simply this. When we, listen, when you surrender your life and have a sacrificial heart, then when things don't go right, you don't stop giving. When the preacher don't pat you or caress you, or when the preacher don't preach the way you want him or her to preach, you don't stop giving. When your brothers or your sisters get you upset in church, you don't stop giving. When things don't go your way, you don't stop giving. Not if you are a giver beyond the tithe. Now, if you're just barely making it, if you're just barely tithing, you're looking for any reason to stop it. Oh, I think we got about 10 of them now, Lord, catching on. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Romans. We're not going to spend a lot of time there, but Romans chapter 12. Let me show you where this is coming from. Romans, the 12th chapter. They first gave of themselves. They first gave of themselves. So the first thing we must do is first give of ourselves. What does that mean to give of ourselves? I said it meant that we have to surrender our life and have a sacrificial heart. In Romans, the 12th chapter, if you're there, say, hallelujah, I'm here. Now, if you're there, shout it out.
Hallelujah, I'm here.
Let the people on the radio know you're here.
Hallelujah, I'm here.
There we go. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, now this is my point, that ye present your bodies. Now follow me closely, the presenting of your bodies. Think about this. He says that you present your bodies. When we present our body, it's called availability. If you surrender your life, then you must be available for God. See, a lot of people say, Jesus Christ is Lord of my life, but they're not available for God. A lot of people say, I'm with you, church. I'm with you, bishop. I'm with you, honey. I'm with you, wife. But if you're with me, then God is saying, I need your body. Present your body. I was in the United States Army a few years back, and they would have a mandatory formation. And what the United States Army was wanting to know, not that I was with them and still in bed. They said, if you're with us, we need you to be with us. Where? In formation. We need your body. I never seen a spirit teach Sunday school, or teach a class, teach traveling through the Bible. Now, I've seen some bodies with spirits in them. I've never seen a spirit go to the hospital and lay hands upon the sick. I've seen some bodies with spirits in them. God is saying, I need your body. That's called availability. Now, you follow me now. Because when it says that they first gave themselves, what they are saying is, first of all, they were available. They surrendered their life to God. They surrendered their time to God. They surrendered their finances to God. They surrendered their life to God. And then it brought them into a sacrificial heart. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, availability, a living, say living. Living sacrifice. I said this to you before, but what a living sacrifice is, the Jews had in their custom, they would take the lamb, as we know, they would take a lamb, a male lamb, but that lamb couldn't have any blemish, nothing on it. So they would separate that lamb from the rest of the flock, and they would keep that lamb separated. Say separated. And whenever someone would come around and say, a Gentile or a heathen would say, what's that for? They would say, that's a sacrifice. It was called the sacrificial lamb because they knew that one day that lamb would be sacrificed. Here he is saying unto us, we become a living sacrifice. So when we present our bodies, a living sacrifice, that's an acknowledgement. When you present your body unto God, a living sacrifice, that is to say that you are separated for the service of the Lord. What you're doing, you are acknowledging that all of me belongs to all of God. See, some of us, we have a halfway house with God. God has half of us, but not all of us. Jesus must be Lord of all, in all, through all, or not at all. And so here, when you surrender your life and have a sacrificial heart, we're talking about your tithe, going beyond now. You got to surrender your life. Then you have a sacrificial heart. You are acknowledging that all of me belongs to all of God, meaning all of my money, not just 10%, everything. Too many people have made God partners. There's no such thing in the economy of heaven. God is not a partner with us. God is the owner of it all. He is the owner of it all. So we are acknowledging that, God, you own me, lock, stock, and barrel. So when we present our bodies, that's availability. A living sacrifice, that's an acknowledgement. Are you with me? Amen. A living sacrifice, listen how he wants it. Holy. Now say holy. Because the tithe is holy unto God. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And if you have the amplified version of the Bible, it says your spiritual worship. In other words, what I just described unto you, this is the right kind of worship. This is worship. People say, what is worship? When you present your body available, when you become a living sacrifice, acknowledging that all of me belongs to all of God. Then he says, which is your reasonable service or the right kind of worship? That's the worship of God. Now, what's holy? Tithe. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Malachi. Malachi chapter 3. In the book of Malachi, the third chapter, I want to develop this message for the next 20 minutes. We'll be developing this thought. Since we find out that we first have to give of ourselves, that means you surrender your life with a sacrificial heart. You surrender your life. Surrender all rights to your life. That's beautiful. See, too many of us holding on to different parts of our life. Surrender your whole life to God. Because, the place where you have not surrendered your life, that's the avenue where the devil has permission to attack you. That's how he gets in, is when you're not surrendered unto God. When you surrender your whole life unto God, I mean your whole life unto God. When you surrender your whole life under God, it becomes easy to sacrifice, because what are you giving in the first place if everything belongs to God? You're not giving nothing that's yours because everything belongs to God. I told you before, there's a way that you give one time and you never have to give again. Give it all the first time. Just give yourself to God. When you give yourself to God, all of you, then you become God's responsibility. If you don't have a job, it's God's business. It's God's responsibility. Are you following me? If you don't have a place to stay, it's God's responsibility. And the psalmist said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, neither his seed begging for bread. Something's wrong without God if he can't provide for us and we belong to him. All of us belong to all of God. And so when you surrender your life with a sacrificial heart, that is to say that you're saying, God, I want to be a giver beyond the tithe. Then two things we need. We need some helps and hints in knowing where to give, how to give, and to whom to give. And the second thing, we're going to need some hindrances removed. I want you to say some helps and hints. Now, when I use the term, Valerie and I, we come up with the term helps and hints. Helps and hints. What is that? I'm talking about wisdom. I'm talking about we need the wisdom of God. See, once I have given myself to God, once I've come to the place that I have a surrendered life, a sacrificial heart, meaning, God, I want to give. I need some helps and some hints in knowing where am I to give. Because, see, the devil can take advantage of your ignorance and you can be given to the wrong thing, wrong people, wrong purpose. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So we need some helps and hints in knowing where to give, how to give, and to whom I am to give. The wisdom of God. Let me tell you what we need and why we need the wisdom of God. Because the scripture says in the book of Hosea, chapter 4, verse 6. You don't need to turn there. It's there. The scripture says that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now, you listen closely to this statement I'm getting ready to say. This is coming in my spirit strong. People are destroyed, or we become destroyed, because of a lack of knowledge. So you will experience destruction for lack of knowledge. But you become robbed for lack of understanding. You may have knowledge, but don't have an understanding. You don't have no wisdom, and you become robbed. Not destroyed, but you become robbed. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, 19, Jesus said, when he gave the parable about the sower sowing the word, he interpreted it and says, because they did not understand, the devil was able to take what they had. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of the devil taking things from me. I committed my heart. I'm going to be a person that see it. I'm going to take it, and I'm going to keep it. See, too many people, they see it, but they never take it. They can see it, but they never take it. We see it by vision and revelation. I'm going to see it, and all that I see, God says I can have. It's what you can't see is what you can't get. If you can see it by revelation, God said to Abraham, lift up your eyes, and all that you see from the north, south, east, and the west, all that you see, I have already given it unto you. If you see it, then why don't you take it? The way you take it is you have to know it has been provided for you. I can see it, I can take it when I know I need knowledge. I need to know what God has provided for me. I see it, I take it because I know it has been provided, but many people lose what they have because they don't understand how they got it in the first place. Jesus said it's the understanding. Is when a man has an understanding, he keeps what he has. If a man doesn't have an understanding about his marriage, it's inevitable. He's going to lose it. She's going to lose it. They don't understand how they got it in the first place. Whatever you have, if you don't have an understanding about how you got it, get ready. The devil's coming. You're going to lose it. It's inevitable. That's why he's telling us we need some helps and hints. We need some wisdom in some areas. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So since we need some helps and hints in knowing where to give, that's all we're going to talk about tonight, is where do I give? Let's start with the starting place. You start with the tithe. Where do I start with my giving? You start with the tithe and you start in the house of God. Listen to Malachi chapter 3. I know you're probably tired of going over Malachi chapter 3. But probably next week I'm going to have us a stand up and verbatimly say it. Malachi chapter 3, look at verse 10. Bring ye. Ye do this. All the tithe. How much of it?
All
the tithe into the what?
The house.
Now watch this again. This is what we have showed you thus far. Where he says bring, that's the what? Process. Ye, that's what? It's personal. It's a personal thing. Ye have to do it. All, what is that? The portion. All is the portion. Don't bring some of God's tithe and give some of God's tithe to here and you dividing up God's tithe. You don't give some of God's tithe. He says, bring ye how much? All, that's the portion. The, what is that? The particular. He didn't say, bring me a tithe. That means any tenth. Ooh, this is good preaching, Lord. He didn't say, bring me a tithe. He said, bring me the tithe. That's the first tenth. And so bring is the process. Ye is personal. All is portion. The is particular. Tithe is what? Property. The tithe represents that he owns you. The pride represents I belong to God. That's the reason why he says, if you bring me the tithe, because you robbed me with the tithes and offering, you bring me the tithe, don't you worry about the devil. I rebuke the devourer for your sake. He better take his hands off my stuff. You bring that tithe unto God and God said, don't you even worry about the devil. You see, all you got to do is bind and loose by your prayer, supplication, intercession, and confession of God's word. When you confess God's word, the devil's already bound. You don't even have to say, I rebuke you, Satan. He's already rebuked. And what rebuke simply means is get an attention. In other words, he's waiting for a command. See, somebody say, I rebuke you, Satan. And the devil is in someone. The devil don't come out just because you say, I rebuke you. What you said when you said, I rebuke you, I'm reprimanding you, I'm giving you a command. He's waiting for the command. That's why when you, listen, when you find the scriptures, it says, and the Lord rebuked Satan. It didn't say that the Lord said, I rebuke you. It said the Lord rebuked him. And what did he say? Cut out! And the devil has to obey. He's already rebuked. It's all right if you say, I rebuke you, but you better give him the command afterwards. I rebuke you. Take your hands off of what God said belongs to me. Or you can just say what the word of the Lord said. Take your hands off of God's property. If he touched my body with sickness, I don't have to rebuke him. I say, take your hands off of God's property. God has already rebuked you. He says, bring ye all the tithe. The tithe represents I'm God's property. Into the what?
Storehouse
is the place. Now, I'm talking about we need some helps and hints in knowing where to give the tithe. Right there. It says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat or full supply in where? My house. Now, we know the rest of the scriptures, so I want to cause you to go in your Bibles to the book of Haggai. Some people say Haggai, Haggai. Haggai chapter 1. Somebody say, where in the world is Haggai? It's in there. It's in there. Mother Bell is a scholar in that Old Testament. Where is Haggai, Mother Bell? Behind Zephaniah. Thank you. If you go to the travel through the Bible, you'll know them books in the Bible. I can really help you. Haggai is on page 839. In my Bible. Haggai, it is in the Old Testament. You know that. Start from Malachi and work your way back. Malachi, Zechariah, and then you have Haggai. Now that helped us, that helps somebody. Malachi, Zechariah, Haggai. Left-handed people always do things a little different. And so in chapter 1 of the book of Haggai, started. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say. Now listen, we're talking about, we need helps and hints. I need some helps and hints in knowing where do I start my giving. We said, you start your giving where? In the house of God. Say it. In the house of God. Now listen to what the problem was here. Verse 2, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. There's something about the house of the Lord. There's to be meat in the house of God. There is to be healing in the house of God. The word of God is to be preached in the house of the Lord. There's something about the house of God where God's people corporately gather together. The psalmist David in 1 Chronicles, the 29th psalm, excuse me, the 29th verse, or 29th chapter rather. He says, I have set my affections. I have set my affections to the house of my God. And if you read it, you begin to see how that they begin to give silver and gold and all these things. Right here, these people were saying, it's not time for the house of God to be built. Verse 3. Now, incidentally, now we're building, as you know, we almost have this complete, what we call the potter's house. We'll be having our grand entry and service at the end of the month, if the Lord should say the same. But we have not lifted not one penny. You are giving people. You've just been giving. I mean, when you're in revival, people obey God. We haven't even talked about it. So don't think I'm trying to lift up an offering. I'm teaching God's word for God's people. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Oh, my, my, my. Now, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. That word consider means ponder, pay attention to. Think about the way you're living. Think about your ways. God says, now consider your ways. Here it is. God says, let us consider some things. I want you to consider your way. And what way is that? He's going to tell you. He's going to tell us. Now, this is some people. Of course, nobody here. But this is some people in the body of Christ. Verse 6, you have so much, that is, you're working an awful lot. Not that you've given much, you work an awful lot. You have sown much and you bring in little. Overtime. Two jobs. Moonlighting. Two jobs. Your wife working. You're working two jobs, mister. Your children are working. You want everybody, I mean, if you can get the dog employed, everybody's working. You sow much and you bring in little. Trying to figure out how you can get a paper route now. And you bring in little. You eat. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he, listen, this is my part. And he that earneth wages. Helps and hints in knowing where do I give the tithe. And he that earneth wages to put it in the house of God. Well, that's what his problem is. He's putting it not in where God says he starts to put it in. He's putting it in a bag with holes in it. No wonder we don't make enough. You're putting it in cable. Putting it in the video. You're putting it in all of these things where you end up saying, I can't afford the tithe. I guess not. You've been giving God's tithe to everybody else. Look at your neighbor and say, this is getting good. Say, Pastor, don't stop. I got about another 5 minutes. If you haven't shouted already, you got about another 5 minutes to get your shout out. Now, if you would, turn in your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy, Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 26. Let's start there first. Deuteronomy, the 26th chapter. I'm giving you some helps and hints. Say, some helps and hints.
Some helps and hints.
And where to give. In other words, I need to know, where do I start my giving? You start with the house of God. You start with the house of God. See, the tithe is holy. The tithe represents God's ownership of your life. And let me say something else. When you give, starting with the tithe, now we haven't gotten off into giving to the poor. I'm going to cover those things. I'm going to cover things about giving to the poor, giving to one another, giving to brothers and sisters. I'm going to cover them. But I want to make sure we understand where we start with. You start with the house of God. Start with your tithe in the house of God. You start with the house of God. And when you start with your tithe, now listen, this is going to help somebody. Some people give their tithes and they try to designate what the church does with it. See, then it's not God's, it's still yours. You're still the owner. See, when you give starting with the tithe, it represents God's ownership. Either you got faith in God or you don't. You say, well, suppose the preacher getting all the money. If you go to a church, the first thing that people ought to do when you come to church, oh, I just don't have enough time tonight. When you come to church, first thing you do, you need to see, is there meat in the house? If I went to a restaurant, I'm going there to eat. First thing I want to do is make sure they got some food in the house.
Right.
Now, the early part of this year, we had some guests that came in, and I was really humiliated and embarrassed because I took them to a restaurant down there in Killeen. And since then, I've tried to take people here to Coppers Cove, and it hasn't been much better. I took them down there in Killeen. Had a whole table full of out-of-towners. Sat there, sitting back. We're in the city of Killeen. Thousands of people. We made our order, and it was 2.5 hours. Now, had we not been fellowshipping, you know, when you fellowship, time just goes. And finally, the kids started sleeping. One particular situation, the guy had to go. The cook had to leave and go to the store. This is true. And get some sausages. Restaurant full. The cook, they ran out of food. So the cook had to go grocery shopping while we're in there waiting. Well, needless to say, I haven't taken anybody back down there. When you go to a restaurant, you want to know, I mean, if I'm going, I'm coming there to eat, they ought to have some food.
Amen.
If you come to church, you come to church to be spiritually fed. Listen, to be spiritually fed, taught the word of God, and the Bible says to be edified, not to be put down, not to be crumbled under, not to be condemned. You'll go to church to be edified, to be built up. If you come to church and you're not being fed the word of God, you're not being taught the word of God, you're not being edified, where do you go? Second thing, and all this is combined in the first, when you come there, now the first thing I do, I want to see who the man of God is. I want to see, and the reason why I want to see, when I say see, I want to hear him preach, because at that point I can tell whether or not this person can pastor me. I'm not judging him wrongly. I'm seeing whether or not I can submit myself unto his pastoralship. And when I join that church, what I'm saying is, you are my pastor. As you follow Christ, I follow you. Now, if I don't believe he's a man of God, I don't join. I don't join. If I hear that he's running around, or if I find out that he's running around on his wife, if I find out, I don't go there no more. I can't follow that. You don't don't follow that kind of, what's wrong with the people? Now, if you're in a church, then get in the church. And again, let me say this. Oh, I pray that you don't misunderstand my darling heart. People that's in the church sit in the church, have been sitting in the church, haven't been doing nothing in the church. Then they don't feel part of the church. You'll never feel a part of the church until you do your part in the church. Do your part. One of these days, you better be glad God is the head of this church. If it was up to me, I would go through the membership and everybody that's not doing something, I'll ask them to leave. I would do them the same way I would do my children when they become of age. When they become of age and you don't have a job, you're getting out of here. Everybody's going to work. Get your own place. You come here and you eat the food and you just lay up and just rest back and get spiritually fat and don't do nothing. And then you demand the pastor's time. Then you demand the elder's time. Then you demand the elder's wife's time. Then you want to take up time. Let's go to lunch. Let's have fellowship. You're not doing nothing. You're wasting my time, man. Listen, I want to put my hand to the plow. I want to work together with those who are working in the vineyard of God's house. If you're not doing nothing, I'm doing something. And somebody that's not doing nothing have all the time in the world to do it. I don't think you heard what I said. If you don't have nothing to do, then you have all the time in the world to do it. I've got something to do, and I don't have all the time in the world to do it. Jesus is coming back soon. I got to work with those who are working. I look at somebody and say, this is for that Sunday crowd. Go ahead. Let me close with this. I'm getting excited. Deuteronomy chapter 26. Somebody say, well. Say, well. Well. See, that's what Jesus is going to say. When I step up to the podium where Jesus is, I want to hear Jesus say, well done. I don't want to step up and Jesus say, well. Oh, hallelujah. Deuteronomy chapter 26. We're getting ready to close. We're having too much fun tonight, aren't we? Deuteronomy 26, and start with the first verse. And it shall be, now what am I talking about? Some helps and hints and knowing where to give it. And it shall be when thou art come unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and possess it, and dwellest therein, that thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit. What's the first? Tithe. Of the earth which thou shalt bring of the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall put it in a basket, and shall go unto the place. This is my point. Shall go unto the place where the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name. Notice what it says. You are to take that to the place where God has chosen to place his name. Take it to the place. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 14. Deuteronomy chapter 14. Hold your finger there because we're going to close in Deuteronomy 26. Deuteronomy chapter 14. Start with the 22nd verse. Thou shalt truly tithe all. Bring ye how much? All. Deuteronomy 14 and the 22nd verse. Read that aloud, please. Thou shalt truly tithe all. We should truly tithe all the increase of thy seed that the field bringeth forth year by year. And thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he should choose to place his name there. The tithe of thy corn, of thy wine, and of thine oil, and the firstlings of thy herd and of thy flocks, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord, or respect or honor the Lord thy God always. And if the way be too long for thee, so that thou art not able to carry it, or if the place be too far from thee, which the Lord thy God shall choose to set his name there. Now this is important. Oh, if I just had a few more moments with you. This is so important here. Listen to what he's saying. Thank you, someone. Which the Lord thy God should choose to set his name there, when the Lord thy God has blessed thee. See, he says, take it to the place where he put his name there. Every church that's called the house of God is not the house of God. Did he put his name there? See, you got people who just start churches and they're struggling and they got folks in there. They are, programs are going on. Let's have a bake sale this week. Let's have a choir rap. Well, you see, in the book of Revelations, he spoke about seven churches. And the fifth church was the church of Sardis. And he says that thou have a name that liveth, meaning they are confessing the name of Jesus. That name is alive, but thou art dead. But thou art dead. But thou art dead. He is saying where we take and bring God's tithe is to the place where he's placed his name there. Follow me closely now. Where are we? 14:25. Then shalt thou turn it into money. Now this is important, because I'm going to say something with the next 2 or 3 minutes as I close this that you need to pay close attention. He says, then you can turn, in other words, if it's too far. Now I'm going to say something, you pay close attention. I got to pick back up next week. I know I'm not going to be able to develop the whole thing, but listen closely, because we're in a military town. We're in a military town. He says, you make sure that you give God's tithe in the place where he placed his name. We need some helps and hints in knowing where do I give? Starting with the tithe. Where he placed his name, in the house of God. Where there's meat in the house. Where people are being saved in the house. Where people are being delivered in the house. Where people are being edified, built up in the house. Give God's, it's God's money. God ought to be able to tell us where to put it. In the place where I place my name. Okay, now, he says, then thou shalt turn it into money. If you can't bring it from, listen, if you can't bring it from afar, turn it into money, because they were agrarian society. They was farmers. They were land. They had farms. And bind up the money in thy hand, and thou shalt go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose. Now, what this is saying is that you give God's tithe, and you start your giving in the place where he's placed his name. Then that brings me to this conclusion. If he is specific in telling me where I am to bring the tithe, that should be suffice. Because he's saying, I want you to bring my tithe, where God? To my house, to the house of God, where there's meat in the house. That's good enough. That's good enough for me. But he doesn't stop there. He says, wait a minute, I want to tell you where not to give my tithe. Well, you said give it to your house. So that should be plain. Now, when he says bring ye the tithe, in other words, the help in the hand is knowing where. Where, God? In the house where there's meat in the house, salvation, deliverance, people being edified, people being made free. God is adding, listen, God is adding to his church daily such as should be saved. Meaning people ought to be added to the house of God. People ought to be added to the church of the living God. If the world around us is building homes, building buildings, stores are going up, all these other things are going up, the church of the living God should be growing. The population on the world has increased, so the church should increase. If I got the same 25, 30 members that I had 3 and 4 years ago, something's dead in the house. Not a decrease. He said the Lord shall add unto his church daily. Say daily.
Daily.
Daily. Say daily.
Daily.
The Lord shall add unto his church when? Daily. Such as should be saved. And believers should be the more added unto the house of God. Meaning you can't build fast enough. As fast as you build, God will fill. This is a Wednesday night. Just look around you right now. I'm giving God the praise. As fast as you build, God will fill his house. Because God is interested in people getting saved, people getting delivered, people being healed, people being set free, people being edified. So God, you says, bring the tithe, where? Into the house of God. But now he's telling me where not to bring it. Listen to this. Deuteronomy 26. Verse 14. 26, Deuteronomy, verse 14. I have not eaten thereof in my mourning, neither have I taken away aught thereof for any unclean thing or unclean use, nor giveth aught thereof for the what?
Dead.
Now, if you read this, this is the offering of the tithe. Listen to verse 12, so you'll see this is what he's talking about. When thou hast made an end of tithing all the tithe. So in verse 14, he says, nor giveth aught thereof for the dead. He is saying, I do not give God's tithe to the dead. Amen. To the dead. So what is he saying? He says, give it to the house of God. If it's dead, you need to question, is this the house of God? If you go in there, listen, if you go in there and all you ever have is a bunch of emotionalism, a bunch of singing, thank God for the singing. Thank God for the testimonies. But if that's all that you ever have, and 15 minutes of God's word, 2 hours or an hour of singing, an hour of testifying, 15, 20 minutes of the word, you need to question, is this the house of God? Is people being added to the house of God? Or is it dead? Because if it's dead, you say, well, how would I know it's dead? Listen, if it's dead, it could be because it's an Ishmael, a product of the flesh. It looks like the real thing. Oh, it looks like the real thing. Ishmael looked like Abraham. That was his father. And Ishmael is when you take the promise of God and perform it in your own ability. It's not by our power nor by our might. It's got to be by God's spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. So if I take God's promise and I perform it in my own self, start my own church, do my own thing, it could be an Ishmael. If it's God, he's going to add to the church. Something else about the dead. I believe a part of this, we're in a military town. You don't give God's tithe, and I'll stand behind it, and I'll challenge anybody from the word of the Lord that can disprove this. You don't give God's tithe to a chapel. I challenge anybody at any time. You don't give God's tithe to the church. Well, preacher, you said we don't designate with a tithe. He says, I'm designating. You give it to my house. You don't give God's tithe to the chapel. And I don't need to tell that to chapel people, because the reason why most of the times people go to chapel services is so they don't have to give the tithe. You say, but that's the house of God. Well, now, whose standard are you going by? Let me ask you, if you say that's the house of God, and we'll pick back up on it next week, I'll close with this statement. If it's the house of God, if it's the house of God, I'll tell you if it's the house of God. How you know it's the house of God? Who built it? Whenever you find, whenever God wouldn't let David build him a house because he had blood on his hands. Now listen, God is very particular about who touches his house, because it's called a holy house. It's called a holy house. Who built the house? Did the government build it, or did God's people build it? Because if the government built it, then the government is the one that's going to govern what goes on in that house. And when you give the money into the chaplaincy, they can use it for beer. They can use it for what they call moral support. Am I kidding? They can use it for whatever they want to use it for. It's for the troops. It's moral support. And God don't tell us what to do with this house, because God didn't build it. Uncle Sam, the government. So if Uncle Sam built it, then we don't give it to Uncle Sam. We give it to God's house. Because God is the one that dictates the terms of what goes on in his house. I think that's good preaching, somebody. Come on, if you will praise the Lord. Stand up to your feet. Stand up on your feet and give God a real praise. Come on, hallelujah.